beginning. Back to that book called Genesis. Now in your mind's eye, if you can picture the land of Israel, perhaps a flat plain with a rising hill, a mountain in the background. And there we see two men, one older anyway, and the other young, quite young, but his posture is stooped over from a very heavy load upon his back. These two are parting company with two others that are standing by a donkey. It seems obvious some story is about to unfold. But before we follow these two men breaking company, we need to go back in time just a little farther, back to where this story really begins. Because you see, it was long ago that our story takes place, and it was several days earlier that things happened that brought these men to this place. The older man, you see, his name is Abraham. And while he was out one day doing his daily chores, his daily chores were interrupted by a voice, the voice of a dear friend. And he heard his friend call, "Abraham!" And Abraham answered, "Here I am." "Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." Abraham's friend had asked much in the past, and Abraham's reminded of the first time that he heard his friend speak in just such a way. It had been years ago, in a different time and in a different land for him. And there he had heard his friend speak, Abram. For then he had even a different name. "Abram," his friend called. "Here I am. Go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great." Abram did all that God had commanded him to do. All that his friend had asked. He had left his homeland in Ur. He had left the family of his father. He had left all the friends and people he knew. And he had traveled to this distant land that God had given him. And in the process, even his name has changed to reflect a new future that is in front of him. His name has changed from Abram to Abraham. But still, there is no great nation. No great multitudes of descendants for Abraham to point to. In fact, there is just this one son. This one very special son, Isaac. Isaac had finally been born to Abraham and his wife Sarah when they were beyond childbearing years. He had been a son of miracle. He had been a son of promise. In him was the hope that one day God would fulfill his promise to Abraham and make him indeed a great nation with many descendants. And now, God comes to him and asks him to do the most incredible thing. To take this beloved child, this son, this hope, and to sacrifice him. It was almost too much to bear. Almost. Because you see, Abraham and God have a long relationship that goes way back, And this is not the first thing that they have been through together. No, he heard God's voice in Ur, and he obeyed. And he heard God's voice many other times. And messages had even come from angels. In his younger days, Abraham would have questioned God. More than that, he would have argued. He would have plea bargained, and he would have bartered until he had cut himself a better deal. One time, he in fact did just exactly that. The message came to him. God said, I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They are evil cities, and I'm going to wipe them out. Abraham was shocked. The horror. No, God, no, you don't want to do that. Now think about it. What if in those cities there are some righteous people? I mean, think about it, God. If there are just 50 righteous people in that city, in those two cities, would you want to destroy them? Wouldn't you spare them for 50 righteous? And God agreed. If 50 righteous people could be found in those two great cities, all would be spared. Well, that's just where the numbers started. Abraham was good at this bargain stuff. He was an old horse trader. And he soon had God chewed down to 10. And two great cities of the ancient world. If just 10, 5 apiece, 1 in one, 9 in the other, it didn't matter. Just 10. Just 10 righteous people in two great cities. And all would be spared. Well, you probably remember the end of that story. Sodom and Gomorrah are indeed destroyed. In two cities, not even 10 righteous people could be found. In the process, Abraham learned a lot about his friend. There's no point questioning him. There's no point trying to cut a deal. Because somehow, this God always seems to know. He always seems to know just how things are. And just what needs to happen. So instead of arguing, instead of trying to cut a deal, instead of saying all those things when I read this story, I want Abraham to say to God, what? You can't be serious. No way. This isn't how things are done. Instead, he says nothing. And he goes to his tent. And he goes, you wonder, though, if in spite of all of his trust in God, if he could have had a restful night's sleep. And early in the morning, he rises, cuts the wood for the sacrifice, prepares the hot coals that will be needed for the fire, and finally packs the knife. Then he picks two of his faithful servants to go with him, loads up the donkey, and calls his son. And they begin the journey. 3 days they travel before Abraham can see the place that God has shown him. 3 days they travel. I doubt there was much conversation. I doubt there was much to hear except the plodding of the donkey's hooves and the sound of the countryside. 3 days might seem a long journey, but I'm guessing that for Abraham it was far too short. Far too short. As they stop and he knows the journey he must now make. This is the place. He tells the servants, you wait here. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship God, and we will return to you. We. It had you ring in his ear. Was it true? Would the both of them return? Would God really require this ultimate sacrifice? He takes the wood off the donkey, and he puts it on the back of his son. It's a heavy load for one so young, and it stoops his posture over. Abraham takes the coals for the fire and the long knife, and they head off. for the longest journey Abraham has probably ever. As they're walking, the servants knew just exactly what was going on. They watch him leave and they know. They know. They've seen the wood. They've seen the hot coals for the fire. And they've seen the knife. They know exactly what's going on. Abraham's assurance that we would return, they knew better. You see, this is the land of Cana right now. It is not yet Israel. It is not yet a nation where everybody worships and knows God. In fact, most of the people there are Canaanites, people of the Canaanite religion. And these servants know well the gods and the religion of the Canaanites. They require child sacrifice, and they require it regularly. In fact, there is a place in the Valley of Hinnom which was famous for child sacrifice. But the servants had thought Abraham's God was different. Perhaps they were wrong. As they watched the two get farther and farther away. We get those first words from Isaac, and we begin to wonder what he was thinking as well. Perhaps he had heard the stories, seen the places. Who knows? But we know this. He then speaks. He says, Father, Abraham's heart must have broken as he said, Here I am, son. Father, the wood is here, and the fire is here, but where is the sacrifice? Without thinking, Abraham just answers, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Did Abraham really believe those words? Or was he just trying to calm the fears of his son? Calm the fears within himself? Jehovah Yah, for the fears of his son were very much a reality. And perhaps Abraham was still asking that question deep inside him. Would God actually require such a sacrifice? Oh, it was true. The Canaanite religion required such sacrifices be given to their God. And if this was the one true God, why not? I mean, after all, if false gods required such a high price to be paid, why not be willing? Why not be able to give that sacrifice to the one true God? They finally came to the place. And Abraham built an altar of the stones that were lying around. And then he took the wood off his son's back and he arranged it on that altar. The next moments, I imagine, went by as though in slow motion, perhaps in a dream, as though someone else was doing it. Abraham took his son and he bound his arms and his feet. And then he picked him up and placed him on the altar. The time had come. Abraham reached and took out the long knife. He lifted it up, and just as it was reaching its apex, ready to come down into the flesh of this innocent boy, a voice stayed the knife. Abraham, do not harm him. I want to get the words exactly. Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not harm him. For now I know that you fear your God. And since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And just then, Abraham heard a sound. And he looked. And there in the thicket was a ram. And he went and he caught the ram. He unbound his son. And together they sacrificed the ram on that altar. And together, father and son, Abraham and Isaac, knelt down and worshiped. And just as Abraham had said, they returned to the servant. Jehovah Jireh. That's what Abraham named the place as he left. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And for those who know this God of Abraham, for those who know Abraham's friend, it is still said to this day of this God, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Let us pray. Lord, we rejoice at the fact that you are certainly a God who provides for us, who loves us and who holds us dear. We rejoice in those thoughts. But Lord, there are doubts that still linger in our mind. We believe, help our unbelief. Fill our hearts with the hope and love of you. Replace our doubts and fears with truth and trust and knowledge, that we may know that although you are a God that does indeed demand sacrifice of us, you are also there to help us out. Although you require much, you never require more than you are willing to give yourself. For indeed, you give more than you even require of us. For you did not spare your son, but gave him that our sin might be forgiven, that we might have relationship with you, and we might know your love, and how unlimited it is, and that we might be able to say with assurance, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord does indeed provide.